In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and bless you from the house of the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience, and be made partakers of his resurrection, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from John chapter 12, 6 days before the Passover. Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at table with him. Mary took a pound of costly ointment of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and as he had the money box, he used to take what was put into it. Jesus said, "Let her alone. Let her keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you will always have with you, but you do not always have me." When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only on account of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus also to death, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. The next day, a great crowd who had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand this at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that this had been written of him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see that you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. This is the gospel of the Lord." Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration is taken from the 12th chapter of St. John, which has already been read. So there's something about this Palm Sunday, isn't there? Can't quite put my finger on it, but somehow it doesn't quite feel like Palm Sunday, does it? Where is the processional? And how about the children waving their palm branches? And what are we going to use for ashes for next Ash Wednesday? Come to think of it, Lent didn't feel as lenty, that's a word, as usual. Matter of fact, we've been a little bit distracted. We've been distracted. And we've been shut in. And we've been shut out. And when we go out, there aren't very many people. Routines have been disrupted. Work has been left at work, and uncertainty permeates it all. Just a couple weeks, Maybe a couple more, we can take that. How about a month before we even begin to return to normal? You're going to get that. It comes with the territory. When a historic global pandemic like this thing rears its ugly head. Fast reverse, 2,000 years, to the crowded, thronging Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city itself, was a big deal. It was the capital of Judea, the historic capital of the region. It's a location whose importance goes back at least to the time of Abraham. Jerusalem, the city, was a big deal. And add to that the temple, located in Jerusalem, perched high upon Mount Zion, Temple Mount. It's where you put your holy place so that it's visible to all from afar. Perhaps the most well-known place of worship in ancient times, the Parthenon in Athens, Greece, named for the virgin goddess Athena. It sits on a hill. It's called Mars Hill. Paul went to that hill to engage in scholarly discourse with the philosophers of the day. And when there's a high spot in a town or a city, the Christians will also often choose those spots to build churches. And I don't see any mounds in Grand Mound, and that's what the steeple's for. Jerusalem, the temple. And Passover was coming, and that was a big deal, the Passover. The first thing the Christians observed with an annual celebration was Easter Sunday. Now, for the Christians then and now, every Sunday was a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and also, as well, a celebration of that event applied to each Christian in holy baptism. Besides that, every year, at about the time of the Old Testament Passover, Christians from early on have celebrated Easter Sunday as an annual event. That was the first. And over the years, we added other annual observances to our calendar, Ash Wednesday, the days of Holy Week coming up, particularly Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, the Saturday Easter Vigil. Some churches are bringing that back. And Pentecost, which is always on a Sunday, and Ascension Day, which is always on a Thursday, and lesser observances of the lesser events in the life of Jesus. In the 4th century, then, the Christians started observing Christmas, an annual event, which has kind of become the biggest of deals, sort of. That's for us, for the Hebrews. One of the three annual religious events that everybody was supposed to come to, Passover, was a big deal in that city that was a big deal. And much of the Passover celebration was centered on the temple, the biggest of big deals. The temple, it was where you went to offer sacrifices, to give alms, to be taught the word of God, and to there worship God. The temple used to be a bigger deal to them. But the ark was lost, and with the ark, the presence of God among them was lost also. And not everybody came for every Passover, no more than everybody comes for every Easter Sunday, but like Easter, more than usual. People who know about these things think that up to 1 million people crowded in Jerusalem for part or all of the Passover festivities. This would be like 2 or 3 quad cities, both sides of the river. That's how many people. And it was a time of socializing. No social distancing, we don't think. Time of religious services. Time of feasting on both food and drink. That was Jerusalem with the coming Passover. Meanwhile, outside of Jerusalem, about 2 miles from the city center, sat the small town of Bethany. Now, this was not Bethany beyond the Jordan, out in the country where John the Baptizer did his thing, but Bethany, a town today, a near suburb of modern Jerusalem, the one the Apostle John writes about in our text today. Likely John was there in Bethany, 6 days before the Passover. The sisters Mary and Martha, probably mostly Martha, had made dinner for Jesus, and the 12 were probably there, and their brother Lazarus was there. Their brother Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Oh, that Lazarus. It was a common name, Lazarus. The beggar in the parable that also included an unnamed rich man was named Lazarus. And as far as baby names, Lazarus today is on the rise. Yeah, that Lazarus. The one who, when Jesus heard of his sickness, waited 2 days. The Lazarus who had been dead for 4 days when he got there, that Lazarus. Recall, first Martha, then Mary, went with the predictable. If you had not dilly-dallied around Jesus, you could have healed our brother, but now he's dead. But he's gone somewhere with this. He commands them, roll the stone away. And he calls out to his friend Lazarus and commands him to come out of the tomb. And the dead man walked out. Yeah, that Lazarus, and that was a big deal as well. The religious leaders looked at that differently. They immediately saw that raising of Lazarus from the dead as a problem. There's a problem with the living Lazarus, and people saw it. You know, the one who had been dead, that Lazarus, and people saw it. Now he's alive, and people saw it. Last week, we heard Caiaphas, whose duty it was to proclaim the word of God. We heard Caiaphas declare of Jesus that it is a good plan that one should die for the people, that the whole nation should not perish. Jesus was going to have to die to save his people, and so was Lazarus. And they talked about how to make that happen. And for his own safety, Jesus went out into the country, away from his would-be killers. It wasn't time yet. They put out a warrant for his arrest, and the talk of the town was about whether Jesus would show his face in Jerusalem for Passover or not. 6 days before Passover, we find Jesus closer, just outside of Jerusalem, at Bethany, and dining with his friends in the home of Mary, Martha, his friends, and that Lazarus, his friend Mary, had some expensive oil, and she poured it on the feet of Jesus, an act of love and respect, and with her hair she wiped it off. Judas did what people do when we want to spend money on things to help us show our love and respect for Jesus. We could have sold that and given the money to the poor. And it all sounds very spiritual, doesn't it? Judas, why don't you leave Mary alone? Judas, how much money do you give to the poor anyway? Jesus says, let her alone. Let her keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me, meaning it's the way of things in this fallen world. With or without freedom, you're always going to have some people with more stuff than other people. Not all people are the same when it comes to that. And the same can be said for nations. Not all nations are the same. And even the poor in our nation are well off compared to most of the rest of the world. Things like war and sickness are a result also of man's fall into sin. Don't blame God. And so is death. The ongoing conversation nationally about this thing kind of centers on when to let us get back to normal, and particularly the economy. A lot of people, mostly retired, have been telling people to stay home to save lives, but that's not going to work forever. Anytime, as soon as you leave home, your chances of dying increase. From this illness, from that illness, from the everyday flu, from accidents, and the like. Adam and Eve, before the fall into sin, don't blame God, could leave the house anytime they wanted and go anywhere they wanted and not have to worry about anything, any of those things. And I'm not going to tell the governor or anybody else what to do. That's not my call. But it is my calling to tell you that we do live in a fallen world. We may get sick. A lot of sickness out there. And sometimes that sickness leads to death. And we all know how this thing ends. You wonder what Lazarus thought about when he knew he was going to die. And you wonder what the dinner conversation was at that home in Bethany. Lazarus, Mary, Martha, Jesus, probably the apostles. What did they talk about? Those crowds, the masses who have traveled to Jerusalem from all over the world, at the news of a Jesus spotting, when the great crowd of the Jews learned that he, Jesus, was there, they came. Not only on account of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Jesus is in Bethany? And did you say Lazarus is there too? That Lazarus? Yes, the Lazarus. Jesus was a big deal, and so now was Lazarus, and you can see both of them in one house. And it seems like there were a lot of different people keeping tabs on Jesus, so the chief priests planned to put Lazarus also to death, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. Because of Lazarus, who was dead and who is now alive, and a lot of people saw that thing play out because of that, many are believing in Jesus, and that's why Lazarus also has to die. Their plan seems flawed. Their reasoning faulty in an obvious way. If you kill Lazarus, what's to keep Jesus from raising him up from the dead again? If he did it once, he can certainly do it again. Oh, wait. You're going to kill the one who raised him as well as the one who was raised. That works. And as it turns out, Jesus did show his face in Jerusalem at Passover, and he did it willingly and deliberately. It was time. Theologians discuss whether the great crowd that hails Jesus on Palm Sunday is the same, the great crowd calling for his head on Good Friday. It's the kind of question you would answer in a PhD thesis, which means a statement in theology. But in a city of 1 million, like Jerusalem at that time, no crowd is constant. Every crowd is different and fluid. Go to a ball game in Clinton or Davenport or Sunday morning at church when we can do that. No crowd at church or at a ball game or mostly any time and place is ever the same. It's different. It's fluid. And the Palm Sunday crowd was clearly made up of people who were on the Jesus bandwagon, and many of them were Christians. They lay palm branches in his path, and when they run out of those, they lay their own garments and shout out to him, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. The crowd on Good Friday was made up of people who did not think highly of Jesus. They were led by their leaders who worked the plan. Did they plan to put out the hit on Lazarus after they dealt with Jesus? Makes sense. And lots of people just follow their religious leaders, some blindly. And in that Good Friday crowd might well have been some of the Palm Sunday crowd who have maybe changed their minds. Maybe some of them on Palm Sunday were expecting an earthly king. And when they found out that Jesus was not even going to raise an army, Peter put that sword away, were disappointed. Perhaps for some of them, that disappointment turned to anger, turned to hatred, like it does when you're expecting big things from somebody and he lets you down. and mankind are who we are, and no doubt many people would just go with the flow. And if everybody else is crying, crucify, crucify, they'll just go ahead and cry, crucify along with them. But you know, we've learned some new vocabulary lately, haven't we? Social distancing, mitigation, coronavirus hell. Coronavirus hell? Yeah, to be sure, it could be a lot worse. In Iowa, we can still roam freely as long as we practice social distancing to mitigate the thing. You can and do stay connected by means of various electronic devices, and we can pipe entertainment into our homes, and it could be worse. You could be sick, but it could be better. But this is not hell. Hell is a lot worse than this thing. In hell, everybody is sick all the time. With sicknesses, we can only imagine how bad. In hell, there is no economy, ever. Nobody has anything they ever want, ever, or need, ever. No devices, no food. You're always hungry. No companionship with a spouse or anyone else. In hell, the father of sadistic, that Satan, well, you are his personal plaything for all eternity. And that's hell, only it's worse. So the presence of God, the glory of the Lord, exited the temple with the Ark of the Covenant. We're not quite sure when. But by the time of Jesus, the Ark of the Covenant had not been seen for several hundred years. Probably it was taken away by the Babylonians in the 6th century BC. Ezekiel, after that, talks about the time when the glory of the Lord would return to his people. And Ezekiel was talking about Jesus, the glory of the Lord, the presence of God among his people. He did come into the world. He did show his face in Jerusalem because it was time for him to do that. He came into the world to do what he came to do. He came to fight the spiritual war, and he fought it and he won by his perfect life, by his sacrificial death, by his glorious resurrection. He won for you escape from hell, passage into heaven, a good place, where nobody is sick or hungry or lonely ever, and it lasts for an eternity. And Caiaphas was right, but he was wrong. Jesus came into the world not to die, not for only his own people, but for all people who are the children of God, for you baptized Christians, and for all people. With this distraction, there has been talk of moving Holy Week, maybe delaying Easter, but that's not going to happen. I don't even hear it talked about anymore. This isn't the first, or by any means the worst, seemingly apocalyptic event the church has ever seen. And when this thing is over, we can almost be guaranteed that there will be another thing, maybe two. The church and the church here has stood all those things. It will stand this thing and whatever things the future brings. Having said that, this week, I think Holy Week is going to have a different feel. I don't think Easter is going to feel quite like Easter. I think you will see more people paying more attention to the last week in the earthly life of Jesus. They just won't be doing it in church. They will, if they're going to do that, be doing it in their homes, remotely, like you're doing now, with their families, and that'll be different, not all bad. And then one day, and that day will come soon, the governor will say that we can go back to church, and we will go back to church. And I wouldn't count on it, but maybe we'll even see some new faces, but I wouldn't count on it. Surely, though, we'll see some faces that we're used to seeing on Sunday morning, that we miss seeing on Sunday morning. I know I do. Surely, we will come with a new appreciation for things that maybe we take for granted. That day, when it comes, will be a good day, and it's coming soon. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.